Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to another week on the PGA Tour as we get the Players this week, the quote-unquote fifth major. That's had a lot more talk than usual with kind of their tagline they've been using leading up to, and then even conversations even on live from this week. Last night they had long conversations on how realistic is it to, they may be going to that along with some of the other schedule changes potentially coming next year, year after. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Regardless, it is a it is the first Millie Maker week on DraftKings. They treat it similar to the majors, so a lot of good contests there. For some people, this is kind of golf season kickoff, not only in their personal lives, but just maybe they've caught a round here or two. But one of the first tournaments you feel like a lot of people will glue into and watch, with the best players in the world all there. Fun course to watch. Fun last three holes. A lot of things can change and flip, as we've seen many a times. Always have the weather. We'll talk about that. See how it plays out. It can flip on us quickly here. We know that. I think it'll be a good week. It'll be a fun week. We got injury news. That'll be big, all the way up to a lock probably. We'll see. this is a early Tuesday morning. I'll put this out probably later on this afternoon, before your drive home is my goal. Real life work is pretty busy right now. So, recording it super early, get it edited lunchtime-ish, and then, get it put it out. Last week was, kind of same story of the year with different reasonings. We did hit Castillo 22-1, so that was nice. We had Cam Young there Sunday. I didn't know if he could catch a burger. I didn't know if anybody could, but I thought he, you know, when it got really tight there for a little bit, I thought he may have had a chance. He's right there. He played great. Third place. I'll take it. It'd have been nice to get both the outright wins, and plus we had him in the parlay, so it would have been a monster day if Cam Young could have got pulled through. But great week for him overall. Was not on Batia much. I don't want to say I missed that one, but definitely didn't have him as an outright or anything like that. I like seeing him win. I like the chase down. You know, that it was a little bit, I don't want to say luck box, but man, I've never seen so many guy gain so much in the short game in a tournament. I know at one point it was over 14 strokes in putting and chipping, but he got it done. Right? There's many different ways to win a tournament. You know, many different ways to skin a cat type of deal. Got to, you know, respect him for that. I kind of wanted to see Berger get the win, the fight back, you know, coming back the injury. I don't know if he got too conservative or not. It did seem a little bit like that. I think he could have, if he's doing it over again, I think there's a couple things he probably would have done different. But, I mean, making the turn, I mean, Batia goes birdie, 10 through 13. That's just not something you kind of could predict. So he probably felt pretty good. But especially after Batia missed that short one on 9. It's a fun tournament. It was fun to watch. DraftKings-wise, showdown again. Kind of saved me. The main slate was just a mess from the get-go. You know, I had Knapp. He was in my core. So there's 20-something percent of lineups dead, you know, by the morning when we get that withdrawal. I did have Rory, but I was underweight in most places, and he was more in my MME stuff. He wasn't in my 3-max. So that didn't hurt as bad. What hurt was once you get to Saturday, you know, I'll go through, especially if I do a lot of lineups, and I'll regroup my lineups that all have 6 of 6 and kind of see where my exposure was, you know, then, because the pre-tournament doesn't really matter. It's like, all right, the good lineups, who do I need to really focus on? And this, you know, when you're doing 50, 100 lineups type stuff, and Smotherman and Rory. So the smaller Rory that I had was in a lot of my six of sixes. So that sucked. But before he withdrew, Smotherman withdrew. And he was literally in two of my best lineups that were 6-6, and he was 4 or 5% in those. So, you can't do anything about withdrawals, but this was one of the worst, you know, it just seemed like it kept coming. Luckily, Showdown, you know, I think it was round two, I hit again. I think it was like 6,500 or so. So that was, you know, it helps the week. Had a good NBA night that same night. I took down the night slate for eight, you know, I think it was like 8,000. So those helped the bankroll. Round four, I thought I was going to have a good day, but it just kind of fell apart late. It seemed like when I climbed up there, like everybody went opposite of what I was thinking. I did not play Batia. I was kind of fading the short game magic and hoping that he would kind of fall apart. And I thought I was going to do that, you know, at the beginning, and then, you know, credit to him and that happens. But overall, positive week. We had an outright winner, good momentum going into this week. This is a tough week in general, typically can have a low 6-6. Just cause of, you know, just the way it works out. This course can eat a certain wave up. It can eat, you know, just players can triple out of nowhere and almost be done. Big numbers to be had. If you want to join us for the week, you can use the code PLAYERS, 30% off any package on the site, content or full site. If you just want the articles and Slack, you know, you can get in as cheap as $7 a month if you want. That's using the annual pricing, but in that code, obviously, if you want the full sites, you want lineup generator, all the tools, all the stats, all the research, live tournament tool as well. You know, it's about double. So it's, you know, you can go check all that out. That does include Slack as well, obviously. And it's, you know, fun week to do it. I think it's a good week. Most things are slowing down. You're probably either getting up for golf or starting to think about March Madness, which will kind of come next week. But, you know, we're a month-ish out from the Masters as well. So if you do the monthly, give it a try. It comes with a 7-day free trial that'll get you all the way through the Masters. So it's a good time to try it now and go all the way through the Masters and see if you like what we got. Very familiar course for everybody, TPC Sawgrass. It was moved in May of 2007, then back to March in 2019. Luckily, at this point in time, everything we're looking at and study, or, you know, as far as data, stats, all that kind of stuff, is really going to pull what these guys have done since it's moved to March, back to March, because it does play completely different. If we do get north winds, it makes 17, 18 tougher. Something to keep an eye on, because I think we could see that this weekend. And with it being moved to March, you typically see an overseed on the greens, which plays closer to a bent than a Bermuda. Similar to Waste Management, that's kind of stuff I use when I'm looking at the putting models for that. Similar, not quite, but it's definitely not Bermuda. I wouldn't only use Bermuda putting if you're looking at putting splits, in my opinion. Par 72, almost 7,200 yards, four par threes, four par fives. Obviously, Pete Dye, water everywhere. We know the trouble. The famous 17th. But the final three holes all lead to an exciting finish. So that's one thing I really do enjoy about it. Weather is a common theme here. We've seen the weather waves, you know, come true. We've seen them come true, but a day and a half later because of, I think it may have been the Cam Smith year, where I think they finished Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday. But the weather hit, but it moved the wave so far back because they couldn't get the guys back on the course that it literally flipped opposite of what everybody kind of thought that week, which everybody's familiar with. But it's just to say the weather could be an impact, but you got to be real careful with it at this course. And you may be locked into something. I would get all your information and gathered and research and have a game plan, you know, for a couple of different scenarios. And wait as long as possible to build the lineups. Obviously, I'll put all of my stuff out on the site, and then tomorrow night, all the final stuff, you know, you want to get it out. It's a hard time for, you know, content creators. You want to put it out as late as possible because of that information, but you want to give the people enough time to, you know, read it, research it, build their stuff. So as of now, it looks like there is shower potential Thursday afternoon. The winds pick up, you know, mid-morning-ish Thursday and really stay around till early afternoon Friday. You know, if it was happening tomorrow, you could say probably an AM, PM edge wave. But way too early right now. That, you know, we're still, well, over 48 hours from right now from the first tee time. So tons can change. It's something to keep an eye on for sure. But you know, I would lean AM PM right now, but it's nothing that I'm factoring at this moment. I'm going to kind of have, you know, handicap and do all the stuff I normally do just naturally. And then if we see a weather advantage, you kind of go about, okay, where does the guys break out on where I think the best advantage is, and take it that way. I don't want to eliminate someone mentally now to go, oh, he's got PMAM, and then it turned out not to be a thing, and you kind of overlooked him all week. So cut, I think, will be plus one, plus two. I do think it'll be a plus number, especially with the way the weather looks the first 2 days. Mainly the wind. I just think the wind's going to be up. It makes the course play tougher. Maybe they get some showers. I don't, right now they don't look electric, so I don't think it'll be anything that would like delay them and then push, you know, some guys finish to Friday morning. But again, I'm going to wait, you know, 36 hours from now to kind of dial all that in. Winter, I think that mid teens is kind of seems about right. You know, we saw Scotty 2 years ago get to 20 under. Rory won last year, 12 under in a playoff. Scotty won the year before also, 2023, 17 under, but he won by five strokes then. So most of the guys are still, you know, high or low teens, you know, nine, eight, nine under. Could still get you in that top 15 range. Then 13, 14, 16, 18. So you can kind of see it seems to be in that range. I just mentioned Rory, Scotty, prior winners, Cam Smith, JT, Webb, Siwoo back in the day, which at that point he was like a 200 or 300 to 1 long shot. Jason Day, some runner-ups, Xander, Furyk, Westwood, Hatton, Xander, Spahn. For me, stats this week, good drives, stroke in irons, good approach, opportunities inside 18 feet, bogey avoidance, and par 5 DK scoring. Only 14 guys have not played this in the last 6 years, so majority of the field has at least seen the course once, and a lot of them have seen it multiple times. It isn't a week where course history is very predictive of anything. It's one of the lower weeks I factor it. You'll see guys miss a cut and then, you know, miss cut, top 10, miss cut, win. You know, there are some guys that do fairly well consistently. Even Scotty started off a little rocky here the first 2 times he played it. Miss cut, 55th, and then obviously first, 20th. Rory the last 5 years, miscut 33rd, miscut 19th, first. So anybody's live to miss the cut at this type of course. Salary ranges, 3 in the 10K, including Scotty up to 14.2, which is, what, 2,500 higher than Rory, almost 3,000, almost 4,000 higher than Fleetwood. Then it drops down to the 9K range. You got 7 guys there. 8K range, 10 guys, 7K range, 35, 6K range, 66 guys. Sweet 16, per usual, 3 that I like, and a bubble boy. Fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut feel plays. Betting top 5 of the pop and 2 long shots. My preliminary top 5 for 1 and done, and then we will wrap it up. So the Rory talk, Knapp just appears to be an illness. Don't know, flu or whatever, no injury from anything that I could see or find out. Not as worried about him. Rory and some other men both cited back issues. Didn't get as much, you know, on Smotherman. I do kind of like him this week, so I'm hoping to hear a little bit more. Rory, we obviously know it sounded like spasms, more precautionary, a little, I guess, maybe concerning that, you know, last night on the player or live from the players, you know, they said original plan was just to arrive pretty much like normal, but now he's not going to come until tomorrow at the earliest. Obviously he has to be here before his tee time, but he does have an afternoon tee time Thursday. My guess is lower ownership than he should be, no matter what, or would be no matter what, at this point, because there'll just be fear of people. Hey, even if he does go, you know, if something happens or tweaks or whatever, he's not, I mean, he just showed he's not afraid to pull out and wait, especially for the Masters. He, even though he's defending here, he'd much rather defend at Augusta than here any given day. But if you get some clarity, you know, he flies up tomorrow morning, he's on the course. Maybe he gets nine in or something like that. Maybe the ownership creeps back up a little bit and you have some guys that think, oh, no one's going to play him. I'll get on, blah, blah, blah. If we don't have anything or he's barely even arriving late Wednesday, you know, it's going to lock, what, 6:40 Eastern time? So that's 5:40 my time and 3:40 West Coast time. So many people will be, you know, will build and lock in their lineups late Wednesday night. And if there's still a lot of unknown, he's just going to be a low-owned guy, even lower-owned in a single-entry 3-max setting than a, you know, 150 lineup deal. Because I think you'll still have players that'll go, all right, well, if he's going to be 8 to 10%, I'll take, you know, my risk there and get 15% of them. And if he pays out, he pays out. If not, I still got 85% of my 150 lineups, you know, that get a boost because he didn't finish or whatever. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, it's a good time to be a member, whether it's with me or you know, with Gups Corner or somewhere else, because a lot of talk in the Slacks, Discords, whatever. We have Slack. A lot of stuff you just can't put out in a content piece because it's an unknown until it happens and we react. And tomorrow night we'll be hopping in the chat. Obviously I'll update the final articles and stuff with some of that news along with weather if we see dramatic weather changes. But as of now, I probably wasn't going to be on him too heavy anyways. It's a wait and see for me, you know, not going to play him. He wouldn't be in my pool right now until we get clarity. Just cause I've dealt with back stuff forever, from football and all the way on that, you know, I've had mornings where I was supposed to play golf and I'm not playing anything like him, and you know, you wake up wrong side or you're stretching, warming up and all that. It locks up on you and you're done. Like you're not playing, and that easily could happen. And not that it's something that happened all the time, but because it's happened to him recently, there's at least more of a risk than not that it could fire up again. And if your back's locked up like that, like you literally, you can't play. It's probably hard to move at some point in time. So we'll see. I'll see how the industry, you know, I'll listen to a lot of pods and stuff today while working and driving and all that kind of stuff. But Sweet 16 above, 9K and above, I get off with Siwoo. Was on fire, cooled off a little bit, but still playing good. I mean, 13th last week, that's not bad. 45th of Pebble, 34th of Genesis, was really hot before that, but he got the rest, Honda week, comes back off the rest, gets a 13th place, looks sharp, still looks great, tee to green. He obviously likes this course a lot, won here. His last 4 years here, a 9th, 27th, 6th, 38th. So nothing like, I mean, two top 10s, that's solid. Made the cut all 4 years, which, you know, here it's pretty solid because even really, I just mentioned, you know, Rory's missed two of the last 5 years. So I like him, like the price. I do think he'll be higher owned. Cause I think you either probably see some Scotty builds cause I think it's somewhat doable this week or almost a really balanced. Cause if you're fading Scotty or you just don't like the builds and you're Xing out, Rory, you know, it really opens up you can build almost any way you want. I mean, Fleetwood's there. Didn't look great last week. You know, burned a lot of people. I don't know how high owned he'll be. And you could just see a whole bunch of people loading up on the 9K range and maybe even some 8. So I think it kind of gets spread out a little bit. There'll be some pockets there that are a little lower ownership. But I don't – with him, I'm not really too worried about it. I'm just going to play him because I like him as a good play. And I'll mix and match where I need to. Next is one I do think I'll get some ownership leverage on is Hovland. He's always risky. We know how he can be up and down and in his own head. He does have two top 10s here with a third place 3 years ago, but he also has two missed cuts. So, again, that roller coaster that is common here. I like the way he finished last week, 13th overall, showing signs, right? And at 9,100 and potentially, you know, sub 10%, just because there's so many great plays around him, it could be a great leverage play this week, especially for MMEs or some, you know, if you're going to do the $5, you know, which has 100,000+ lineups or the $25 with the Millie, you know, that's a play that I wouldn't mind being overweight on, and getting some leverage there. I am going to put Scheffler third. I do think there's enough decent, not only is there enough decent plays in the 6K range because of the volatility of the course, and I don't want to say it's like automatic, you could have a low 6 of 6, but we've seen lower 6 of 6 here more times than not, that the dollar amount of who you're playing isn't as important as the player, you know, and your upside on them. Because, I mean, anybody can miss a cut. I mean, a $6,700, you know, whoever, I don't think has, obviously has more chance of missing than the $9,300, you know, see where something like that. But it's just a volatile place that you can pick a decent amount of guys in that 6K range, low 7K range, to, you know, mix and match with Scotty and then decide how you want to add your last piece or two with him. I don't know if he's a 3-max guy for me yet. He's kind of right on that bubble. Really kind of depends on the Rory situation as well. But I think when I'm doing 20-max, 50-max, if I do 150, you know, in the $5, something like that, then that I definitely think I'd be at the field or over. And I haven't played him in weeks just because I didn't think it was necessary. I was hoping – I actually think if Rory finishes last week, which he was right there in the mix. I mean, it wasn't – you know, Berger was ahead of everybody, but, you know, he was 4-under going into the weekend and easily could have been in the mix. Scotty looks, you know, just okay, you know, showing frustrations. 24th is what he finished. You know, say Rory finishes top 5, top 8, and these prices are what they are, I really think Rory would have been the way higher owned than Scotty, and I was hoping to get Scotty at lower ownership. With the back situation, that's out of the window, but I still don't mind playing some Scheffler and making those builds work. My bubble boy is Morikawa, and it's simply ownership. I think he'll potentially – I think he's 1 or 2 in ownership. Him and Scotty are going to be the two popular, I think. Morikawa, I mean, he looks solid. He's not my favorite guy to root for, but I'm not going to – I mean, this is about money. It's not about favoritism. So it's really just what else am I building with, and do I want to eat that ownership? He has an okay history here, but for him to be 9,800, so you're really wanting, you know, probably a top 5, and probably the highest owned, maybe the second highest owned. You know, he's 41st, miscut, 13th, 45th, and 10th. So he's never finished better than 10th in his 5 years. But he's coming in great form. So I wouldn't hate it if you want to go there. Typically, it would have already been a fade for me. Because I just, you know, with the short game stuff, which I think can get him in trouble here. He doesn't really have a, you know, a super high finish, you know, 1/10. You know, I think it would be a good fade spot. Because of the unknowns with Rory and, you know, where I want to pick and choose my battles, I just moved him to the bubble boy line. We'll see where I'm at tomorrow at this time. And maybe he's a guy similar to Scotty that, hey, I'll play my 30% of them, 35% of them in my big pools and fade him in 3-max, something like that. I could very easily see myself doing that. 8K, oh, so 9K range recap, Siwoo 9,300, Hovland 9,100, Scheffler 14,200, Bubble Boy is Morikawa 9,800. 8K range, Oberg, kick it off 8,700. Was decently low owned last week, not as much as Cam Young. Cam Young is going to be the skyrocket of the week. I mean, I had him in single digits in some contests last week, so that was great. Oberg wasn't too much higher owned, but I think he'll get, you know, bump in ownership as well. Played well, finished third, tied with Cam Young actually, and potentially should have won it. Either one of him or Young, but Oberg missed so many putts that look like, I mean, right on the edge, right on the lip. So I like where he's at. The price seems cheap, so I do think the ownership will come in. He's got an 8th place here 2 years ago in a miscut. I like the form he's coming in. The putter showed some life later on in the tournament. Even the ones he was missing, like literally one on Sunday, it looked like it was, he kind of did the slow walk hoping it would fall in. They were online and in good pace. So I'm going to be overweight on him. He's one of my favorite plays of the week. Cam Young, 8,100, feels real too cheap after coming off last week. We're not going to get the ownership discount we did. I'm not a full pivot of him, obviously, because he's in my core for the AK, but I think I like Oberg a little more. I don't think he'll be as flashy as Young. Young doesn't have a good history here. He's made the cut 3 or 4 years, but he hasn't done much with it. Missed cut 51st, 54th, 61st. But he is coming in good form. His putting's improved more consistently. Tee to green, he's done well here. Putter has gotten him in trouble at times. His iron play a couple of those years, I was deep diving, you know, was some of the issue, which I think he's improved a lot. And he just feels too cheap. I'm going to be on him. I don't know to what extent or what level. I'm interested to see, you know, listen to some of the industry to see how much he's talked up. Because last week, like hardly anybody had him. He was my one and done play in several of my contests, very low owned. So it helped me a bunch jump up there. But I don't see any reason to jump off him. I think he keeps it rolling. It's just monitor the ownership and we'll see where we want to play him at. Next for me, Bobby Mack, 8,800. I think this guy, I think we'll get him a little less owned than others. We could see, I could see 8 to 10% for him, especially where he's at price-wise. Because I think the guys that are going to Scotty level, I don't think they touch him. They'll if they want to pick someone high, it'll be someone in the 9K range. And then they drop down or they'll go to like a Cam Young from Scotty. So, but he's played really good. First 2 years here, not so great. Last year finished ninth. So I like that he's seen the course and he's gotten better. 24th at API, 20th at Genesis, 37th at Pebble, 14th in good drives, 18th in good approach, 18th in bogey avoidance, 11th in putting. A lot of solid numbers I like. And for that price, and the ownership, I like him a lot this week. We know, you know, his short game can be, you know, up and down at times. But I think, especially showing what he did last year, I don't mind trusting him at all. And his putter can get hot, you know, with anybody. So a little less on, give us a leverage play in the pool in that 8 to 10% range. Bubble boy for me is Fitzpatrick. Yeah, I continue to go back to him, and he continues to frustrate me. Wasn't horrible last week. He just couldn't get anything going on the weekend. He still isn't playing well. 14th at Pebble, 24th at Genesis, 41st last week. He's got two top 10s here, a ninth and a fifth, circled around three missed cuts. So that kind of gives you that volatility of this tournament. And I could see either this week. I could see him right there, top 10, contending for a win or missing the cut. So with that, and I still think he gets the ownership because all of his numbers are going to look pretty solid. That's why him has a bubble boy. It's just, you know, he's a guy that, do we jump off and let the other people take their chance this week? Or, you know, at best, is he an MME play and he go even with the field? We'll see how that's looking tomorrow as well. But for now, bubble boy for me is Fitzpatrick. AK range, Oberg, 8,700. Young, 8,100. Bobby Mack, 8,800. Fitzpatrick, bubble boy at 8,900. 7K range, I will go back to Knapp. I'm interested to see how many people are worried about him. He killed me last week. I have no reason to go back to him in that way, but he rates out pretty well this week. Obviously, he was coming in great form last week. That's why he was one of my core plays. A 12th here last year, a 45th 2 years ago, so he's made the cut the two times he's played it. I like him a lot this week. And unless I hear something else that anything but that it was just an illness, I'm just going to mark that one out of my mind and play him like I would, you know, like he just missed a cut or something last week, but played okay. You know, I can't, not going to factor that. And if it kills me again, then maybe I rethink it. But I think he's fine. And I don't hear anything right now that gets me off of him. He's one of my favorite plays of the week. Minwoo, 7,500. I could see him picking up some steam this week. Three made cuts here, a 6th, a 20th, a 54th, coming in great form, a 2nd, a 12th, a 6th. He started off rocky on Sunday, but then made the turn and had a great back nine. I like to see that momentum when someone fires a solid back nine and then heads into the next week, coming off a top 10. We know his hands are as good as anybody's. Short game's great. Drivers improving. I think he'll get ownership, but nothing crazy. And he may be a guy that I kind of watch who I pair with Scotty. If I do wind up going, you know, Scotty and some of the MME stuff, I could see him being a popular, pairing with him. But overall, I don't mind playing him at all. Him and Knapp are two of the guys I do like in this range a lot. Hisasune, 7,100. He finally gets a bump in price. Seemed like they wanted to keep him in the 6K range. Forever. And maybe that takes the ownership down. I think he could be under 5%. He's missed the cut here twice, but it was all putting. His putting isn't like tremendous, but it's gotten better. Tee to green has been solid. And I think this course, you know, could fit him well if he can figure out the putting. 33rd last week, 45th at Genesis, 8th at Pebble. Again, if he's going to be like a 5% or less, I definitely like him this week to be in the pool and not going to jump off of him. I've been playing him for many weeks now. I hadn't really seen anything that would take me off of him. He'd bubble around being a core play, but definitely someone I'll have plenty of at that low ownership. I mean, 15%, you may be 3X the field. Bubble boy for me is Straka. Much like Fitzpatrick, really only ownership. I think he could be one of the higher owned in the 7K range. Great history, or solid history here, especially for a $7,600 guy. Miscut the first time he played it, then a 9th, 65th, 16th, and 14th. So, you know, two inside the top 20 the last 2 years, a 9th 4 years ago. So he's played it well more times than not. 13th last week, had a great Saturday. Struggled Sunday. He just couldn't put it together. Yeah, I was pretty heavy on him Sunday in showdown, so he kind of hurt. But I don't mind going back to him. 50th at Genesis, 2nd at Pebble. I think, you know, his iron play, I'll trust that. I like him a lot this week. We'll see where the ownership comes in at. If he's just, you know, in the average, he's going to be higher up there. But if he, you know, 10, 12%, something like that, you know, I don't mind, you know, being overweight on that. That's really the only reason for a bubble boy. I don't really have any negatives against him this week for me. 7K range, Knapp, 7,600. Minwoo, 7,500. Hisasune, 7,100. And then Straka, 7,600 is the bubble boy. 6K range, Castillo. I like him a lot. I bet him last week. We hit the outright. I played him at Cognizant. He did great for us, finished in 5th. I was glad he got in this because of winning last week. I think his price is too cheap. And I don't think he'll see, I think he'll get some ownership, but, you know, 5% maybe. I'll keep riding him. I've been playing him for a while. And for that price, I definitely going to have plenty of shares for him this week at 6,200. Meisner, 6,600. Miscut at Cognizant, 42nd here last year. Stat wise, he looks like he should do great here. Putting will be the key. Can he putt decent? But 31st in good drives, 15th in irons, 9th in good approach, 5th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 13th in bogey avoidance, 34th in par 5 DK scoring. I mean, everything looks solid to me for a $6,600 guy. That's enough green lights that Andy played here last year, made the cut, didn't do much with it, but, you know, I like that he's, you know, at least been in battle on the course. 42nd, you know, go improve on that and it'd be a great play for $6,600. McGreevy, 6,500. A guy I've been up and down on. At times he's picked up a little bit of chalk. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to play a chalky McGreevy, but this week I don't think he'll be chalky at all. I think he'll be sub 4 or 5%. 20th here last year. And he showed some flashes this season. You know, 40th at Cognizant was okay. Pebble, 29th. He did miss a cut at Genesis. 15th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 23rd in good drives, 38th in irons, 14th in par 5 DK scoring. Again, enough positives. Top 20 here last year for 6,500. Definitely can go there. Bubble boy for me is Cootie. He hurt me last week. He was in a lot of solid 5 of 6s. It was probably the 3 withdrawals in Cootie was definitely the killer for me. I hope that keeps ownership down because I'm sure I wasn't the only one that got burned. You know, it's 1 week and it's golf. So I have him at bubble boy because I could see him being the highest owned. If you just look at data and stats and all that, I mean, he looks tremendous and he putts well on these, you know, 12th. He's never played here. That'd be one negative, but 12th in good drives, 4th in opportunities, 12th in par 5 DK scoring, 13th in good approach, 8th in putting. I mean, solid across the board for 6,700. I definitely, you know, I don't mind going back there. I know it stung last week, but I don't mind taking my chances at that price. Again, I mean, if he can be up there battling for a top 20 at that price, that'd be great. 6K range, Castillo, 6,200. Meisner, 6,600. McGreevy, 6,500. Cootie, bubble boy at 6,700. Fade of the week. I would say Rory, that's kind of an asterisk. That's it's easy. But outside of that, if depending on how that situation, you know, develops over the next 36 hours, I'm probably going to be lighter on Henley than most. I think a decent finish for him last week. But he's just done okay here. So for $9,000, I think he'll be one of the top, maybe top five, six owned this week, maybe top eight, worst case. A miscut, a 13th, a 19th, a miscut, a 30th. I know he should fit well here, and he probably does. There's just, you got to pick and choose what chalk. Like, I'd rather probably eat Morikawa chalk than Henley in that case. Now, Morikawa is going to be probably decently amount more owned, but if I got to eliminate one, I lean the Henley one, who could be anywhere from, you know, 17-20% type number. Don't mind him over, you know, if someone, there's not negatives if you want to go there for sure. Just okay history, and, you know, trying to pick someone up there that doesn't, you know, that I don't really, you know, give you the warm and fuzzies, and he's a one for me right now. That's an easy pass at that ownership. Sleeper of the week, I'll go with Seabez, 7,000 flat. He's played here four times, a 41st, a 13th, a 13th with one miscut, a 37th at Cognizant, an eighth place last week at Puerto Rico. You know, he's a lot of short game at times. We know that. Can get the putter hot. I mean, he's probably going to be 3 or 4%. You know, so with those, the finishes here, coming in off two good weeks at Cognizant in Puerto Rico, I don't mind going there and getting some leverage over Seabez at 7,000. Some gut feel plays for me. Matsu, 9,500. I think he's going to be low owned, which for a good reason. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't looked great. The whole game hasn't looked sharp, but he's played this course, you know, pretty solid. He has had some miscuts, but he's a sixth 2 years ago, a fifth in 2023. He was leading this back in 2020, right before when COVID hit. It was canceled after the first round. I think he shot 9 under. So if things get clicking with him, he can definitely go low here, and I think this course suits him well. And if I get a low-owned Matsu or lower-owned, I definitely don't mind taking some shots there. Batia, 7,700. You know, do people just pass on him coming off the win? Third here, he played good here last year. I can see where the course could be a good fit for him. Obviously the short game we saw was on display last week, and I definitely will help him here. He will be ownership bound. If I see him creeping up as one of the higher owned in the 7K, I'll probably pass. But if he's just decently, you know, nothing crazy ownership, I don't mind riding the hot hand there. Kitayama, 7,500, made the cut the last 2 years here, a 33rd and a 19th. 18th last week, second at Genesis. Got some momentum going. I don't mind him. Bridgman, 7,900. Lowry, 8,600. Lowry's, he's played pretty good here. 8th, 13th, 35th, 19th, 20th. You know, so five straight made cuts, which he's probably one of the few that have made five straight cuts here. But the last 2 weeks, the ending, the collapse at Cognizant, which cost us a lot of money. and then he kind of blew up the last hole or two at API to miss the cut. That probably keeps the ownership down, so it's something to keep an eye on. But you also wonder, you don't want your mental game on question at this course, but he's played so well here five straight years that he's someone to keep in mind for the pool. Brooks showed enough the last time out, finished strong on Sunday. I don't mind him, 7,800. Spieth showing life again, some signs of old Spieth, 7,700. And then Cantley, one day I'll give him up, but not quite this week. Definitely an MMA-only play, but I think he'll be low-owned. 8,200, you know, maybe can make the pool. He's a guy that I'll keep an eye on. We'll deep dive everything tonight and see how things shake out for tomorrow. Betting top five of the pop in two long shots. I like Knapp, 50-1. You can shop these around, obviously. Young, 30-1. Oberg, 25. Minwoo, 35. Straka, 40. Those are some of the guys that catch my eye early. Two long shots. Hisasune, 150-1. Meisner, 250-1. Those would probably lean more towards either each way or top 10, top 20 type bets. The final card out tomorrow, per usual. My preliminary one and done, top five right now. I like Oberg, Siwoo, Knapp, Hovland. And I had Scheffler penciled in, similar reasons why I mentioned earlier that I kind of thought, you know, last week I'd looked ahead and thought that next week may be my Scheffler week, depending on how things shook out. And going into the weekend, again, thinking Rory may finish strong and Scheffler kind of struggling again, that I would use him here, thinking he'd be low owned. Depending on how many people have used him in your pool and where you think you're at, I still don't mind using him. If you think he's going to be one of the highest picked, I could see waiting, because it's just a course that can eat anybody up. And so if you want to take chances elsewhere, surely don't mind that either. If I didn't, you know, if I wanted to put a fifth in there instead of Scheffler, it probably would be like a Matsu type, a lower owns, has a potential. A lot of people have already used him, you know, and so him or Xander, one of those two type. But right now I'm going to leave Scheffler in there. So Oberg, Siwoo, Scheffler, Knapp, and Hovland. Preliminary, I'll have all that final stuff out tomorrow per normal. I'm not going to wait too late tomorrow. We'll just see how the weather, because I don't think it's going to be too crazy of a setup. It's just going to be, what do we, you know, if it looks like it keeps changing a lot in the next 24 hours, that's when you get a little uncertain and any kind of weight. But for the most part, it just looks like wind and maybe a shower pops up, and it's, you know, how much do you want to factor that versus, you know, a big system or something that could put a bunch of delays in. And then that really makes it, you know, difficult to kind of predict. The other deal is just the Rory watch. It's kind of hard to say, but seeing what happens with him and how we feel about taking a risk there based on the update. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great week. Hope you guys have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.